Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Are you excited to be here this morning? Amen. Let's pray. Close your eyes with me. Why don't you pray for yourself this morning? And you pray that the Lord will speak to you. Why don't you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to minister to you this morning? Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself that you leave this morning's service wiser, more wiser than you came. Pray. Pray. Blessed be your name, O God. Blessed be your name, O God. Kebros kabras kabradara basika baradas. Lift up your voice, somebody. Leboro shikabarandas kebrendes. Marando sikabara. Lebre sekeberebe shikabarandere kabras kabara baba. Lebro sende. Lebro sandara baba. Likabara basandas. Lebro shikeberendes. Merendes, cabros, cabranas, marandereme cabras, cabarandara. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. This morning, lebo, si cabaranda, we present our minds, our hearts to you, O God. Speak, minister, affect us, O God. Quebros, quebrende, labras, cabarandas, marandoromo, quebre, si cataya barababa. Libre shika tabara baba derebe kabrasata. Libra sata bara baba. Blessed be your name, O God. You are my strength. Strength like no time. You are my strength.
You are my strength.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Reaches to me.
Is he your hope? This is our hope this morning.
And hope like no other. Hope like no other. Reaches to me.
Oh, somebody sing it from the bottom of your heart. In the fullness.
And in the fullness of your.
You lift me up.
You lift me up. Oh, you lift me up.
I'm feeling love. I'm feeling love. Stronger than mountains.
Stronger. Reaches to me.
deeper than the ocean.
Deeper than the ocean.
He reaches.
Reaches to me.
Father, this morning, we bless you, we honor you. We know you are our strength. Strength like no other. We've gathered in your presence this morning. We pray that you speak to our hearts, you affect our lives. And the Lord, you will not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. I pray for everyone who is here. I pray the Lord you will speak, you will minister, that our spirits will be open to receive the seeds that is coming from the word of God this morning. Thank you for the word of power. Thank you for the presence of your spirit here. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. And you may please be seated. Wow, you're welcome to church this morning. We're looking at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 3. And verse 11, we're studying about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, the Bible says that, this is John the Baptist who is speaking here. He's saying that, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. He goes on to say that there's somebody, anytime you hear, you see the word but, it means something is coming that is coming against what has already been said. Are you with me? So he says, but he that cometh after me, there was somebody who was coming after John. You see, the Muslims try to say that Muhammad is the last prophet. Is that not what they tried to say? Because when somebody comes after somebody, it is believed that the person who came after is supposed to be loaded. It's supposed to be somebody who has more strength and has something greater than the one who came before. So here, John the Baptist is saying that there's somebody who is coming after him. And he, indeed, is mightier than himself. He says, the person's shoes, he is not worthy to bear. And he says that he, that person that I'm talking about, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He said, that person will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So we are constantly reminding Christians in Lighthouse Chapel International to seek and to enter into that which the mighty person has brought. Many people do not go beyond water baptism. Many people find water baptism as the ultimate commitment, or the commitment, the ultimate thing you can do in Christianity to show your commitment to God. No, water baptism is for babies. Water baptism is for babies, because it's when you are born again that you get baptized. And when you are born again, you're a baby. So water baptism really is for smaller pickings. So as big and as old as you are, if you don't want to be baptized, something wrong. It means that in the spirit, you are indeed a baby for truth. Because there are other higher things. There are other sacrifices you must do. There are other commitments you must commit yourself to. There are other, Jesus said, you must deny yourself, take up your cross. If you can't be baptized in water, how can you even take up your own cross and suffer for Christ? How can you become a preacher? How can you do something, move somewhere because of church? And that is how come Christianity has become like a toy, like a game. Christianity has become something like, God owes us something. We don't have anything to give to God. Christians behave as if God has signed an agreement to owe them a lot. But God doesn't owe us anything. In fact, we are rather owe God with our lives. Yes. For no man, the Bible says, for what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. What manner of love? What more do we want? Your small money you don't have, you are crying. Some small juk you ain't getting, you punishing. I mean, behold, what manner of love? What kind of love? It's like this love, we don't understand it. We cannot imagine it. This love? What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? You and I, we rather have to do more to prove to God that his love he has shown us has not been wasted. That's what we must do. What manner? You think about it. Abiomi, if you are not married and some guy wants to marry you or is interested in you, and a guy is sending you things, he's sending you money, he's bringing things, he bought a car for you, and then your mother is there, and you tell your mother, me like he? What do you think your mother will tell you? He said, what do you mean? Look at what this guy is doing. You just returned from New York. Look, who goes to New York on Friday and comes back on Monday morning to go to work? What manner of... You see, so it's like the guy has gone so far and so wide to prove his love for you. And you are sitting on your horse saying that you don't like him. But you are receiving the things that he's bringing when you say you don't like him. Nothing is free in this world, you know. Nothing is free. Yeah, there's nobody around you who would tell you that. Girl, don't worry with he. Don't waste your time on he. No, the guy is showing concern. He's loving you. In fact, if it wasn't the guy, you were still using a BlackBerry. Now you're using a very nice phone. Yeah. BlackBerry. Since you met the guy, your BlackBerry has transformed. You've gone higher. He's doing things for you. Taking care of you. You don't lack. You go to salon twice a week. Hey! What manner of love is this? Now, what do you need to respond? What do you have to do? Then you are sitting down. And say, you know what for do. You need a slap. What do you mean you know what for do? Yeah. We all understand what it means that this is a good guy. He's been following you. Because there are some people who don't give some women nothing. Don't give them nothing. And then cuff them on top of it also. What manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that you and I, as sinful as we are, he will elevate us from servants, as he elevate us from creation like any other animal, and call us his children. Now, after he's calling you a child, how do you have to behave? You have to walk around and behave really like the child of God. And make him proud that he didn't make a mistake by adopting you as his child. You're looking around Christian and your face is like, there's no God for you. What manner? The love alone must make you rise up and do something for the Lord. There's somebody in the church this morning. Yeah. So baptism... It's the foundation. Baptism is the basics. Baptism is just the if you want to call it, is the zero point. But sad enough, many people don't even enter into the baptism that John said the mighty person is bringing. Many of us don't experience it. And that is our subject this morning. And I told you last week that I'm going to pray for you, those who don't speak in tongues, to speak in tongues this morning. Are you ready for that? Now, when we come to speaking in tongues, we've learned a few things. Who will speak in tongues? What are the signs, the evidence that you are filled with the Holy Ghost? The evidence is speaking in tongues. But I want us to go to Genesis chapter 11, just to help you understand something a little bit more. Genesis chapter 11. Verse 1. The Bible says that the whole earth was of one language. You know, tongues is a language. It's a spiritual language. Right? And spiritual things are not easy to understand. So tongues is a spiritual language. So the Bible says that the whole earth was with one language. Right? And of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. The Bible says, and they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. The Bible says, and they said, go to, let we build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Verse 5 says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Can you believe that God's attention was attracted to some people who wanted to build a tower? This is the story of the Tower of Babel. The tower is not the problem. The problem is what made them book progress. The intentions. You go to verse 6. The Bible says, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now, because of the one language, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Restrained from them what they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. This is speaking in tongues. You see, what God is doing here, or what God did here, was to prevent some people from progressing to cause trouble. God realized that these people had strength and that everything was possible for them because of one language they used to speak. So what God did was to confuse them with different languages so that they wouldn't understand one another. And therefore, they could not work together. And therefore, they cannot build a tower together. Now, in the same way, speaking in tongues is like that. God does not want Satan, the witches, the Obia people, your enemies, and everybody who doesn't like you. God does not want you to speak to him when they can hear. Because if they hear what you are telling God, they will know your plans. They can fight against you. So God decided that I will relate with my people differently. I want them to speak to me in a language that nobody else can understand. Even himself, because if he understands, he's a culture, he will go and tell the enemy what we're talking about. So even we ourselves don't even understand the spiritual language. Because the Bible says that it is our spirit that is speaking. Now, how can you understand something that the spirit is talking about? Because, ladies and gentlemen, it is when things come from your spirit, that is when it's pure. Yeah. I heard a preacher say the other day, he said, listen to me carefully. That's what he said. He said, don't listen to me with your mind. He said, your mind is not the right place to listen to what I'm saying. He said, listen with your spirit. You must receive this in your spirit, not your mind. It was the first time I heard something like that. He said, your mind is a wayside where seeds were sown when the birds came for it. He said, your mind is where there is a stony ground where it doesn't grow well. He said, your mind is where there are thorns that when it grows up. He said, let it, once it goes into your spirit, that is a good soil. May you receive the word of God with your spirit. Yeah. So God now came up in the New Testament. You see, it's like a new leader comes. The new party came and then they said, Jubilee Park. That place was bushy all the time. I hear they even got an anaconda or something from there when they were trying to clear the place. All along, this place has been bush. Ah, we've been seeing it all these years. When the new government came, that place now has become some mini stadium. So when Jesus came to die for us after Moses and all these people couldn't help us, then Jesus said, you know what? In my time as president, I'll give the people a different language. Yeah. So that I will protect them from the devil who will hear them when they are talking to me. That is why David so many times said that the Lord should confuse his enemies. You can only confuse your enemies in something that they cannot understand. I say you can only confuse your enemy with a certain move that they can't follow you. I'm talking about speaking in tongues that many people despise. Yeah. Now, many of us don't speak a different language. So if you have to say something to the Lord right now, everybody will hear what you are saying. But we have some Nigerians around here. We have some Ghanaians around here. We can change into another language that will lose you. You will not hear what we are talking about. Yeah. You get lost right now. Evander will say, what am I talking? Aha! Because now, you can't follow me. It's only the person who understands me is the person who can follow me. So the Bible says that our spirit, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, the Bible says, and the spirit itself, it makes intercession for us with groanings. Makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, which cannot be understood, which cannot be deciphered. It is the Spirit that speaks for us. And when the Spirit is speaking, it comes forth in a way that people can understand. Now, in war, you understand that if there's any war, you cannot communicate in a way that the enemy can pick up. So when they have radio, they talk. They talk in a way. I mean, yeah. Roger, brother, so what? This, that. Code names. You will never hear them say, oh, yes, Mr. President. Yeah, President Obama. Yes, okay, so we should go and kill Osama bin Laden. Okay, all right. Even the people who went for Osama bin Laden in Pakistan, the Navy SEALs, when you read the story, they did not know who they were going for until they were airborne to Pakistan. That's when they were told going for Osama bin Laden. So the training, the preparation, the day that they left the base, the in between Pakistan and Afghanistan, when they left, it was when they were airborne. That's when they were told. Just in case there's a spy who can easily, text somebody, text message and tell somebody, we coming for. Tell Osama he should run because we coming for him. This is somebody people have been looking for years, since 9/11. Been looking for. Bush was the one who was really looking for this. If Bush had got Osama, he would have been very excited. He didn't. Obama's first term, it didn't work. Second term, they got a lead. And a guy is living close to a military base. Now, Osama has also been able to elude arrest and escape all this because he's also been living his life in a way that the enemy cannot understand. I mean, I don't know how more I should explain to you that when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that you are more advantaged. You are more put in a certain position to be able to communicate with God your Father that nobody else can understand. That's why people don't normally pray. When we come to church and we say pray, you don't pray. Even if you pray, because Because you don't want the person next to you to hear what you are saying. True or false? You don't want them to know that you can't pray. You don't want them to know all the, excuse me, what you think is useless that you are talking about. Someone say, oh, let's pray. Even your own self, you can't hear your own self. God gives us a certain code, a language. But then with the language too now, people think that, well, it doesn't make sense. It's because we don't understand it. That's why we don't, shaka braska barababaka. You don't open your mouth to speak it. If only you knew what you are trying to do with God. The Bible goes on to verse 27. Look at what verse 27 says. The Bible says that, and he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. It means that it's God only who knows what your spirit is speaking about. Many people don't understand that man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. You and I are spirits. That's why one day you leave your body and we'll throw the body away somewhere. But you never die, because from here you move to the next stage, which is eternity. You're either going to heaven or hell forever. The real you was the breath that God breathed into the body. That's the real you. People don't study that. People study more about what people look. Yeah, we are more concerned about the outward. Forgetting that there's an inner man who is looking through these two balls that we are looking through. Who one day, when the body... it's very fantastic that you see somebody lying down there. Is that the end? That's not the end. The body is a house you have rented for 50 years, for 70 years, for 25 years, for 100 years, if you know, we get a chance. It's a rented body. One day, it must go. That, from dust thou art. From dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. There's no two ways about that. It's the breath of life, rather, that continues. And that breath of life has an identity, which is you. Otherwise, beyond this world, there will be confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. So every spirit beyond this world is unique. Bible says that when the Spirit speaks, God who searches the heart understands what the Spirit is saying. Understands what the Spirit is saying. So if I were you, I would even want to be baptized again. As if I were you, I would want to be baptized again. So let's look at how do you get baptized. How to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Very quickly, and then I'll pray for those who do not speak in tongues. Are you with me? Are you excited about this language?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, again, it's very... What is the advantage when you speak more than one language? Is there an advantage? Is there? It's a great advantage. So we who are here who speak Creolese, which is one language, and English is another language, there's no benefit. Eh? Kevin, is this the breeze? Maybe you should close the window if it's the breeze. Creolese and English. No, some Portuguese, some Spanish, some Dutch, some French. Don't you admire when you see people speaking a language you don't understand? You wonder, what? They talk him a name. People talk him a name. You get jealous, and now you go on a different tangent. How to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to just talk about it and not teach you how to get it. The first thing, or the first step to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is that you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. You see, last week the Lord showed me something. He said, this thing you're doing is wrong. You should change it. You know what it was? Should I tell you? You want to know? Your ears itching you?
Okay. You like stories, no? Okay, like mind people business. Okay, no problem. I'll let you mind my business. But when I won't mind your business, you don't tell me it's private and it's personal. I was talking to some young people. I said, you see, me when I preach, I say all kinds of things about myself. I said, you are in this church, me know nothing about you. Oh, what do you mean? You got to tell me about you too. Even me, I tell everybody, you is only me you are talking to. Nobody else will hear. Is he? Last week, it has happened quite a few times, but last week, you know, that's when I heard the voice of the Lord that, no, don't do this thing again. You know, normally, especially during the second service, when I finish preaching, then I pray for people before I do the altar call. He said, no, don't do that. You should do the altar call before you pray for people. It makes a lot of sense. Because he will not touch people who are not saved. And if they are not saved, it's very difficult for them to receive a certain blessing. Because the only prayer from a sinner that God hears is forgive me of my sins. Not help me and bless me, Lord. As I'm going on this journey, please protect me. God does not hear those prayers. When you hear sinners and those who don't believe in God, who are not active Christians, say that when I wake up in the morning, I say my prayers. You are making noise. God doesn't hear those prayers. The only prayer God will hear from a sinner is that I am a sinner, forgive me of my sins. That is when you begin to receive something from God. So when people come and I pray, and this was, I was praying for some people, and then I got to one person. And then it's like, you see, it was when the person, the way the person was, you know, behaving. I said, no, this thing, them understand what's going on. So then when I made the altar call, and the person came forward, and I said, oh, look at this. They are not saved. They are not born again. So all the prayers you are praying for God to touch them and help them, it can't work. It cannot work. There are principles in the kingdom of heaven. You go do for me, I go do for you. My brother, make you no worry. Yeah? You go do for me, I go do for you. Go do for me, I go do for you. You don't serve God, he won't bless you. Why do you think that you say you believe in God? You don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you don't come to church, you don't talk to people about Christ, and you want blessings. I remember when I was at A-level, I did all the foolish things when I was in school. And A-level, final year, when we're going to do exams, then I started reading my Bible. I started reading some Psalms. You know why? Exam coming up. I won't pass. I want something from God. And that's how we behave. God wants us. We don't want him. But when we want something, then we want God to do it for us. It doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. You know, so the first thing that qualifies you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost is that you must be born again. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm not talking about going into water. I'm talking about you standing and acknowledging that you are a sinner and that God should forgive your sins. He should wash your sins away and that Jesus will come and live in your heart. That is what makes a person a born again Christian. And then we can go to point number two. Are you still here? Are you sure? Or you've gone home? You could do it for me. You could do it for you. It's not normal for you to cook for a child every morning, isn't it? Unless the child lives in your house. And it's your child. Even if it's not your child and it lives in your house, at least there's some jurisdiction, there's some control over the child. So you can't cook and not give the child. But if the child doesn't live in your house, how come you cook and you just go and look for the person? Hey, I'm looking for somebody to give food to. It doesn't work like that. You must be in the house of the Lord. You must belong to God for him to have a certain, you know, place in your life. Number two, you must desire the Holy Spirit. You must desire. You must desire the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 verse 38. You must desire. You see, God is not somebody that you can just treat anyhow. You must want God. The Bible says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you, and to your children,
and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise is for us. It is there, but you must desire it. And the promise is there. There's inheritance, there's money, there's this secret code that we can use. We can, you know, start applying and make use of that will help us in our Christian. But you must desire it. It does not just drop down like ripe cherries from a cherry tree. You must desire. How many of us desire the Holy Ghost this morning? You must desire the Holy Spirit. Number three, you must pray and ask God to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. You must pray and ask God to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, the Bible says, if you being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So number one, you must be born again. Number two, you must desire. If you don't desire, then Jamal, the prayer won't work. You must desire. It's desires that come through. Anything you desire, most of the time you get it, isn't it? Yeah. Desires are very, very wild. Desire, that English word desire comes from a Greek word zelou. It means to be ravenous. It means to be zealous. It means to be like rapacious, like a wolf. So when you have a desire, even though you might not see a desire works. It's very, very strong. You see, your desire for somebody is what makes you look for the person and go after the person. You could do for me, you could do for you. Make you no worry. Yeah. Desires are very, very strong. People come to church because of their desire to be blessed. That's what makes some people come to church. When a boy wants you, he's call you. When he gets you, he ain't call you no more. Desire gone. Not to the next desire. Yeah, because men are like butterflies. They like stepping on flowers. Go on this flower, it sucks the nectar. Gone to the next one. Sunflower. Where's the next sunflower? It goes to the bougainvillea. Like that? Just always trying to draw some nectar out of the flower. So when a man begins to call you and pay attention to you, it's a desire. If I were you, I would stretch the desire. I'll stretch the desire for 50 years. You have to, as a woman, you have to know how to stretch a man's desire for the next 60 years of your life. Yeah, no, it's an art. It's not every woman who knows it. Foolish women don't understand. Wise women don't understand what I'm talking about. You could do for me, I could do for you. If you ask, he'll give it to you. You have to ask. If you desire, then you ask. You pray and ask God to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And then number four, exercise your faith by speaking out in tongues. This is where the problem comes. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Exercise your faith by speaking in tongues. You see, so those of you who come forward to be prayed for, you come and then I ask you if you are born again. Or to even make things better, we say a sinner's prayer just to clear all doubts. And then I'll ask you if you desire. It's only those who desire who must come forward to be prayed for. Now, the next thing that you must do is that when you pray for the Holy Ghost, and you, according to Luke chapter 11, verse 13, you must believe that you have it. The Bible says that ask and it shall be given. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, isn't it? Is it Matthew 7, 7? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and then it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8 is more interesting. He says that for everyone that asks, what happens? Receive. So if you ask the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what happens? You receive it. Now, so if you believe that you have received, then you must use it. And you use it only by opening your mouth to speak. So many times people say, so what should I speak? Speak what has been given to you. How do I know? Even the questions mean that you are doubting. You don't ask questions. Acts chapter 2 verse 4, the Bible says that, and the Holy Ghost, They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit, according to what the Spirit gave them utterance about. Sometimes your tongues will be, li, 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 li. That's yours. That's your utterance. It could be, laba, 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 laba. That's your utterance. It could be, do, 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 do. That's your utterance. It could be, chicken, 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 chicken. And that's your utterance. Chow mein, 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 chow mein. That's also your utterance. Ask this. So, once you pray and you ask God to baptize you with the Holy Ghost, you must believe that you have it. Now you have to begin to speak it. Now to speak it. Speak whatever doesn't make sense. That's what you must speak. Amen. Number 5. You see, all these things, you can do it yourself. This is do it yourself. Workshop. But number five, ask your pastor or elders of the church to pray for you. Okay, that's also another way that you can receive. And then number one. Are you sure it's number six? I have number seven. You have six. Okay, number 24. Let's not fight about the number. So I tell you it's 24. There we go. Number 6. Once you start speaking in tongues, don't stop. Don't stop. So what happens is that as long as you begin to speak in tongues, don't break it. Don't break it. It's a language. You have to. If you learn some words in any language and you don't use it, you lose them. Anybody knows words in any other language? International language, not Creole. Any international language. French, Portuguese, Spanish, Chinese. You know some words in Chinese? What by? Which word do you know?
Ni hao ma, si si ni.
Ni hao ma, si si ni. I hope it means something nice. Ni hao ma, ni si si. What does it mean?
It means, how are you? I am fine.
Ni hao ma, mei si si. How are you? Ni hao ma. Nihama. Nihama. Missy Z. Oh, she. Nihama. Nihama. You have to speak like Chinese, isn't it? Nihama. 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 It got to sound like a Chinese. Hallelujah. Yeah. Speaking in tongues is described in two ways. Let's look at it very quickly. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 11. And let's get ready to pray for you. I just have about 7 minutes to finish everything. Isaiah 28, verse 11. How many of us desire to speak in tongues this morning? You desire to speak in tongues this morning. Wow. It's powerful. Yes, Mr. Jordan. Why not? The Bible says that in the last days, this is a prophecy. This was a prophecy. With stammering lips and other tongue will he speak to this people with stammering lips. Stammering lips and another tongue will he speak. That's how the Bible describes speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, please. Time is up. So first, I just want to make sure that you are born again. You are not saved. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You are here this morning, you are not saved. You are not born again. If you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. If you are here like that, I want to pray with you. I love to pray with you. Just lift up your right hand and I'll do so. Pastor, please pray for me. Pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Pastor, please pray for me if you are here like that. Your right hand. Every eye closed, please. Every closed. Every eye closed. I mean the two white things of above your nose. Those two eyes must close. As we pray. Yes, your right hand up high. Pastor, please pray with me. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to please come. Come. I want to pray with you. Come. Wherever you are, come. Come to the front. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. God bless you. Bless you, my dear. God bless you. Come, sir. Oh, clap for them. Clap for them. Encourage them.
come to Jesus this morning. I want to give your heart to Christ. Come, I want to pray for you. Come. Oh, clap until they get here. God bless you, sir. It's exciting when people give their heart to Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Close your eyes. Let's pray. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart right now. And I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to be my master and my savior. I believe that by this simple prayer, I am born again. I have been saved from hell, and my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.